why God? Not why God, but why, comma, God. Why, God, do you do like you do? Why? We used to have a nerd. Oldest children were small, Ray Jr., Sissy and Billy. Had a little old record player. You'd grind it and it'd play. It had a song on there called, kids were singing, it was called Why? Why Daddy? 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 Why? And then it talked about why is this, what is the snow made out of and where does it come from? And why does it snow? What's up there on the Milky Way? And asking all kind of questions. Them kids asking their daddy. Why, daddy, why, daddy, why? That's what we cry out to God. Why, Father? Why, God? In the Bible is a man, I guess he had as much to question God for as any man has ever had in history. A man who was a rich man, a very wealthy man. The Bible called him the greatest man in all the East. That was Job. Job 1. But God chose him to be an example for millions of people that would follow Job in this lifetime and have him for an example. And there's a book written that's called Job. I heard one lady one time said she read the book of Job. And we need one about Job, I guess, about a job, but Job was a pretty wonderful book, and he was a pretty wonderful guy. He had 10 children. He had more camels and more herds and flocks and money and possessions and servants and anybody around him. God had blessed him on every side, and the devil even went to God and told God, said, you blessed Job on every side. And more than that, God built a hedge around him where the devil couldn't get to him. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that's wonderful. And God blesses you and then puts a hedge around you so the devil can't come take it away from you. But one day, there was a time, the Bible says in Job 1, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And Satan came up before the Lord. He has a right. He's prince of this world. He had a report to make to God of the state of affairs in the world. He says, where you been? Satan, he says, I walked up and down in the earth and to and fro in it. He said, yeah. He said, did you consider my servant Job when your walks? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I've been by Job. He said, you blessed him on every side, and you made a hedge about him. And all I can do is just look through at him. I can't get to him. He said, but if you'd let me to your servant Job that you love to boast about, I can make him curse you to your face. Woo! Lord, have mercy. Now, Job didn't know all this went on till later. Many months later, Job found out about all of this. But then the Lord said to Satan, he said, behold, he's in your hand. You can take things from him, but you can't touch him. You can take his things. Well, that's not quite so bad when you lose things. So the devil went forth from the presence of the Lord. And he went down and he stirred up trouble for Job. First thing, a servant came into his office and said, Master, said the Sabaeans have fallen upon your servants and killed them and taken all your sheep. Next one come in, said the pagans have come and taken all your camels. Here come another in, said the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up all your harvest of wheat and barley and so forth. Then another one sprang in, and here come the worst news. Your 7 sons and 3 daughters were feasting in the eldest brother's house. And a terrible storm, a whirlwind, came out of the wilderness and smote the house, and it fell on them, and all 10 are dead. Old Job just rent his mantle. That was a type of futility and also of humility. And he says, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave it, and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And that concluded the first chapter in this great man's life that's recorded. In the second chapter, it starts again. There was another time when the sons of God came to to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said to Satan, says, where have you been? Oh, I've been up and down in the earth and to and fro, walking up and down in it. Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? A perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And you know what? He holds his integrity even though you move me against him to destroy him without a cause. He said, skin for skin. Boy, the devil's always got a smart aleck answer, hasn't he? Yeah, and this time now, I want to get to the man. I just don't want his playthings, his nice things, his affluence. I want him in the sifter. Why, God? Where do you let him? Where do you let the devil take all this from me? In fact, we go back to a more fundamental question in the plummet of questioning despair many times, and we want to delve into the unseen. We want to solve the insoluble. We want to plummet the mysteries of God Himself. We want to somehow get into things that there's really no answers for. And say, why did you ever make the devil to start with? That's a good question. That's a good question. Why in the world did you make that aggravating devil to get over here and take everything I got to start with? Well, anyway, God gave the devil permission. The devil said, skin for skin. All a man hath will he give for his life. Said, you let me touch him. Don't just take his things away from him. Let me touch his flesh and take his health. And he'll curse you to your face. Why, God? Why do you let the devil do things like this? Well, we ask all those questions, but still there's nothing but silence. It's like going out to the graveyard and looking at the new grave of a departed loved one that was taken prematurely. And we look at that in questioning despair and say, God, why? Why did you take this loving hand away from me? This loving person, this companion, my wife, my husband, my child that just began to contribute to life and happiness and so forth. Why? Why is the worthless encumbrance of one old good-for-nothing mother or father spared and a dear, nice, loved one taken prematurely? Why do you do these things, God? Why? Well, we can't be so foolish as to let it darken and cloud our future horizon. We can't let it plunge us into vagueness and doubt and all this despair that comes as a result of not having all of our questions answered. We can't demand of the infinite all the solution to our problems and all the depths of our mysteries to be solved, because God just doesn't enter into those contentions with us. Job said, I wished I could go where God is. I wished I could come before his seat. I'd contend with him. I'd contend with my maker and find out some answers, but I can't find him. And it's strange that when all those questions arise, there's a time that you can't find him. I wished I could come to his seat where I could argue my cause before him. I believe I'm right. Well, that's when God don't show up. He won't sit on his seat. We might come there, but he won't be there. So you just fuss with the seat. And God's not there. The old song says, we'll understand it better by and by. The devil went forth from the presence of the Lord again. And the Bible said he touched Job and smote him. He smote him with swords from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And the Bible said he set out in the ashes and he took a piece of pottery to scrape himself withal. And he sat quietly, lonelily. Loneliness there setting upon him as there was nobody to comfort him. And when the comforters arrived, sent three comforters from a far country that knew Job, they saw that his sorrow and misery and grief was so great, they sat 7 days with him and never even said a word to him. He was in such torment and affliction. His wife came and says, "Why don't you curse God?"